Okay, there we go. Thanks, Bob, and thank you guys for all of your service. Thanks for reminding me this morning, D. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Nick. And it sounds like we left off around page 89. So to not skip it, we really don't have any questions for a few pages, but to not skip it, it goes into talking about the first prison group, the first meeting or group behind the bars. Behind prison walls. And it goes into Warden Duffy talking about how there was all this other things to help people with other problems that they didn't have anything for, which seemed to fit completely into this program, right? But the alcoholic didn't seem to fit completely into this program. And then, towards the end of the next, if it had not at the bottom of the page there, if it had not been for the persistence of that first group of alcoholic inmates who realized their serious problem and their need for help, we could have never continued beyond the first few meetings. At the top of that page 90, we have common peril plus common solution equals cement that binds us. And as a result to that, I have a highlight about halfway down that says when parole figures on alcoholic prisoners suddenly drop from the usual 80% return to prison to a spectacular 20% and held that way, skeptics everywhere were convinced this piece of pioneering made AA history. Like, that's huge, just to show how powerful this stuff is. It goes into the next page, 91. There's like a little kind of statement on the side says, family involvement. And the midway down, my lawyer friend sent him the publication copy of the big book. He gobbled it up and insisted on going straight to Akron, where he placed himself under the tutelage of Dr. Bob and began the influence of Wally G in those home in whose home he lived for a time. His ex-wife KM was not alcoholic, but she turned up in New York full of enthusiasm about AA for itself. She was inspired with the same spirit which is found in the family groups of today. I don't know, we get into conversations. This is a family disease, as we go through this stuff. And so the next page, the question on the side is my, so 92, is my community outside AA properly informed of what AA does and does not do? And on that page, just to give it a brief, it's that ex-wife Kay and Johnny, who's also a non-alcoholic, and how they go in to try and help these alcoholics. So anyhow, Davey, what does that scream to you these days about your community? Is my community outside AA properly informed of what AA does and does not do?
I think for me recently, I had a really good experience in my home group with somebody who's supporting someone trying to get sober, and they got to utilize some of our literature about just that, like what we don't do, and it was really helpful because before I knew like committee work and all that sort of stuff, I was like, how do I let everyone know like that AA's here, but like learning through that, like we help people and we do have public relations and stuff like that and cooperation with the professional community, but it's not just my responsibility. Like I can get on the committees, I can do committee work, but it's not something that I organize. It's something that is organized through AA structure so that it could be helpful because I didn't know anything about AA before I got here. And like when I had a spiritual awakening, I was like, I want to go tell everyone. And that's not effective because before I went through the traditions and even thought about questions like this, I just wanted to beat people over the head with a big book, and that didn't work at all for me. But that's what I
Thanks,
got.
Davey. Dear Carrie, whoever wants to go first.
I'll just say, like, having permission, not only having permission, but being volunteered, voluntold to be the peanut gallery has been my like ultimate dream for so long. But I'm just going to say, you know, I love, for those who don't know Nick or Davey, these two men are a complete blessing in my life and a breath of fresh air. And I know this isn't about the two of them, but I'm so grateful that they are in my, you know, district and in my home group. And I love that I don't have to be the peanut gallery tonight. You know, it was funny that when Nick was sharing, I started typing in when he read that in the chat. I was going to send it to him. I haven't hit send yet, but it's my typing says, "Tell about the non-alcoholic who," and then Davey started sharing about her. And, you know, I just love that because, yeah, she showed up on our closed meeting. I'll just go into detail about it on Thursday. Her name's Katie and she's brand new. She had 9 days on Thursday and we have 4 meetings a week at our home group and 3 of them are open and there's a closed one. And of course they show up, her grandma, neither one of them live here. They're just doing 2 weeks of meetings here to get sober instead of treatment. Her grandma is an amazing woman and is supporting the heck out of her. And they showed up on Thursday to our closed meeting and we had to have that uncomfortable conversation about, listen, this is our only closed meeting. You can trust us with her. Jackson's Corner is right down the street. Here's a packet of information for you to take with you and, you know, read through. And she did. And then they came the next day to, Nick is our DCM and he was putting on a newcomer pamphlet packing party, right? Donuts and coffee. And those two showed up. The newcomer and her grandma got to help us, you know, as a non-alcoholic telling what was helpful in those packets. And she just loved the fact that the packets told not only what AA was, but she said what AA wasn't was so helpful. And as a result of us cooperating with this non-alcoholic, I heard our DCM, Nick, share about it in his report to the intergroup last night. And so it's just one thing leading to another. And when we utilize these traditions, and this book and our past experience to help our future experience, it's just beautiful because I think that's how it's all supposed to work together. So thank you both for being such wonderful examples of Alcoholics Anonymous.
I will ditto that coming in as this peanut gallery. We're not going to get through many questions with Carrie and I even being given the peanut gallery. You know that, right? I'm sorry, Nick. Sorry, Davey. But awesome answer, Davey. And to hit that on the head as well, because I have somebody here from actually a couple women from this particular home group that this happened and it did involve one of my sponsees. So to answer that question about knowing what AA is and isn't in my local community, oh, you guys just gave a nice example. Let me give a not so nice example because we know we're out there, right? So one of my sponsees was given she was elected to be the treatment rep for her home group, right? Treatment and corrections rep, if you will, right? And so she had never done this before, but there was somebody else in that group that was kind of like willy-nilly off and doing their own thing. And often doing their own thing was totally opposite of what our traditions tells us, right? The literature upholds the integrity of our AA message. So if we ain't opening up the literature and we don't know what's really going on in AA, we can all carry our own message instead of AA's message. And before you know it, they're totally like all over the place. And it's very confusing. And that's what happened when this well-intentioned AA member sober for a little bit, not too long, but just a little bit enough to like be doing her own thing, recreating the wheel. Didn't understand, like Davey shared, that there were committees already doing this stuff, right? So she's off creating and doing these other things. And when my sponsee got this pamphlet of stuff handed to her, not only was it talking about AA and NA and AA and I mean, alcohol and drugs and this and that, it was in a whole different area and district next door. Like it wasn't even where their home group was located. Like it was a wreck. train wreck times 20. And so through some hard work, through some guidance with service sponsorship, through a lot of that, right, taking a look at people that have experience, right, and looking at what we already had in place, we got to gently help her create the bylaws, right? I know there's that heavy word. Okay, let's say the job description, the service commitment, if you will, for this particular role that was new to this home group. And then they got to share that. And so again, that got to be built, that got to be born, and it is actively rolling in the right direction now, you know, but this person didn't know. And then they were teaching other people stuff that was so opposite of what AA does and doesn't do. And so it is really important to pick up the literature, not just have the literature, but actually know what the literature says. We had yesterday, a delegate share on concept four, and I love her humbleness at 57 years sober and was a past delegate from 1988, said, look, I was tasked to ask, you know, to talk about this pamphlet, and truth be told, I had never even picked up the pamphlet. So she went and got the pamphlet, took a bunch to her home group after she read them and loves the pamphlet. So pick up the literature, read the literature before we start transmitting something that we don't have, right? So anyway, that's my experience for now. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. So just quick, go back to the question. Like, if I were to answer that question, is my community outside AA properly informed of what AA does and does not do? If I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't give it a 5-star rating. I wouldn't say, yes, it is. I would say we have great pamphlets and we have good examples of boots on the ground, but I don't think we have enough boots on the ground. I think the majority is quick to send people to treatment before they'd send them to an AA meeting, or they're the like another 12-step, you know, fellowship. I think it's, I think we could do better. Not that we're doing bad. I just think that we could do better. And I think that's a good thing to strive for. So the next page, 93, on the side, it's, am I aware of the prospects available other than an AA meeting? And I remember when I read that, I was like, nope, I had no, I mean, besides like going to a bar and just waiting for somebody to be like, I'm good, I'm, you know, I'm done with it. I had no clue, you know? So anyhow, what do you think, Davey? Am I aware of the prospects available other than at an AA meeting?
Yeah, Davey, I'm an alcoholic. I remember when I wrote this in the margin and I was thinking about it for the first time, I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I thought my job was just to go to an AA meeting and that was the only place like there would be a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And I was in the library yesterday and there's a bulletin board there and they have one of our flyers up that says, I think if you like drinking, that's your business, but if you want to stop but can't, we can help, or something like that. And, you know, it's things like that, or like, you know, being on an AA panel that goes into a treatment center and going to committee meetings and listening to like how we can put big books in little libraries and stuff like that. Like, it transitioned from like me thinking about like, I need to go drag people off bar stools to like, how can I help give the information out to people that want it? And, you know, it's really not up to me to decide if they need it or not, which I think that question, thinking about that question helped me transition from like, it's not my job to decide if someone needs it, but I could be helpful if they want it.
Awesome. Carrie.
I was just going to look it up in the big book. Dang it. Didn't get enough time. So there's a place in the big book.
I was going to say, you can keep looking. Keep looking and I'll answer it.
Okay.
The man that is making the approach. Go ahead.
I hang out in front of Walgreens down here. No, I'm just joking. I do not.
Nice.
I hang out in front of the liquor store where I used to frequent, like about 8:59, right before they're ready to close. And I look for someone as desperate as me. No, although that is a good idea, but no, I don't do that. But I do. I'm a walking example and I stand on the firing line, right? Whether it's in AA, outside of AA, I don't go chasing them down, but I'm here. you know, and hopefully if I'm remaining present with God, with my higher power, those opportunities are shown. Sometimes I do miss the mark. Sometimes I don't always know what's my business and what's not my business. I got to be honest. Thank God for living in step 10, 11, and 12. So, but I try to be aware, but I can always have room for improvement. Thank you.
All right. So it's not highlighted in my book, apparently, but there's a part, I think, in working with others, I'm sure it's in working with others, that talk about that we go into hospitals and blah, blah, blah. It's probably a part that, anyway, I just know that every time it comes up, oh, here it is. Okay, on page 97. So it says, innumerable trips to the police, court, sanitariums, hospitals, jail, and asylums. And there's another plot spot too. That's actually not the spot I was looking for. There's a couple of spots in working with others that talk about going into treatment centers and hospitals and whatnot. And every time I'm in a big book study, and it's been a little loud in my head lately because I didn't used to be sensitive to it, but lately when I'm in a big book study and we're on that page and that's read, the sharebacks that I hear are, see, this is why this book is so old. We don't go into hospitals and stuff to find anybody anymore. Now they come to us because we have meetings. And so this book is kind of outdated because, you know, we don't go into hospitals and homeless shelters and stuff anymore. That was back when, before they had meetings. And it's like, my head just screams at me the whole time because it's like, no, like all of our most current newcomers are, they didn't just find us. Like we go and get them. We go into the homeless shelters and we get them. We go to the treatment centers and we get them. Like we bring them in. That's what this thing is. And no, it's not outdated. We need to start, we need to do that more than ever now, you know? And I don't know if it was Nick, somebody just recently said something like in this meeting tonight about, I don't want to misquote. I don't want to misquote. So
we'll but forgive
I agree.
You.
I agree. Huh?
I said, we'll forgive you. Misquote it.
Well, I mean, it's just, I think that there's a miss. You're right. We don't have as much, maybe we don't have as much understanding as a whole as we could, you know, but that's why we don't just find acceptance with that. We get into action, right? And that's why we're not going to wait around for, I don't know, GSO to make a new pamphlet. We made our own. And in District 5. And it says right on it, a whole side that says what AA doesn't do and what a closed meeting is and what an open meeting is and what the difference between, I mean, it we made our own and it's local and it gives information to how to log on locally to, you know, the local website to find local meetings. And I think that it's something that I will be mindful of speaking up next time I hear that in a big book study instead of trying to keep my mouth shut. Thanks.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, guys. Yeah, today's a different deal. You know, it's like I'm aware, you know, trying, practicing like 10, 11, 12, you know, trying to walk with God. You know, you hear Craig, sometimes you'll hear him say, you know, 400 times a day, like I got to pray 400, I got to reach out 400 times a day, I have power outside myself to, crazy things happen. You know, I was in my work field, I was talking with somebody else, in a different business, but coordinated with my business anyhow. And we were having this conversation. He kind of mentioned how he was having a hard time with drinking, this and that. It was one of those stars aligned. Like, I don't run around and tell everybody that I'm an AA, this and you know, I'm an alcoholic and that I'm, you know, this. Anyhow, but I saw the opportunity. Like, God laid it in front of me, and I got to have a conversation with him and share my experience with drinking and getting into Alcoholics Anonymous and how different my life is. And then about like a month later, I find out he started going to meetings And here it's been like a year and a half or so, and he's still sober. So there is a lot of things that we can do within committee work, but there's also we walk around, we're humans, our life. You know, I've got a committee member on the PICPC was bringing information to hotels and ended up like having a pretty deep, like 12-step quote unquote conversation with the receptionist at a hotel room, you know, or a hotel business or whatever. So we have these opportunities. My sponsor, 12-step, the guy that was mowing his lawn like years ago. It's just, this stuff gets put in our lap, you know, and I think hopefully we don't miss it. So if we go to the next page,
hey, I have the dog groomer, by the way. You can get the dog groomer too at any time. I mean, like they're in your local community.
That's it, man. Yeah. I mean, being aware, I'm not saying we need to write a sign on our back or anything, but you know, we can hear it when we talk to people, but being willing to take the time to talk to people, like all kinds of people, not that we don't have enough time to talk to, you know, all kinds of people. Page 94. Do I consider other areas of AA? Sorry, I didn't have a chance to read. Like, it's good to be reading the page so I can kind of get some.
Other locations, I think, because it's
talking about. Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah, because he's talking about, yeah, east to west. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So geographical areas, like do I consider other, I mean, I didn't consider anywhere. I'll tell you right now, like I didn't think about anybody or anything except for myself, my group, and maybe not even the group really. So that's kind of where I was at when I was reading this the first time. Davey.
No, yeah, same kind of thing. I didn't know there were other areas of AA, honestly. Like, that was not in my thinking, you know, and I'm thinking about it right now. It's like, I'm in a different, like, things like this have really helped me, like, think about other areas. And, you know, it's, like, this is put on by a literature committee. We don't have a literature committee in my district, and you know, that's not true. I think I misspoke there.
We don't have a committee chair.
We don't have a, yeah. I don't know where I was going. So I could see the look on Carrie's face. I know I misspoke.
Block her out. No,
but what on. I was keep saying talking. Was just, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but participating via Zoom or whatever in other areas, or, you know, get involved in service, and like things come up when other areas have experience, because things are done a little bit differently. And that experience and getting involved and seeing that, like, our 12-step work is all, you know, it's done within the framework of the steps. But, like, you know, intergroups can be different, and central offices and districts can have committees, or intergroups can have committees. And getting involved with that and seeing just how big it can be and how the experience can be useful has been really helpful, because I did not consider other areas at all when I first went through this.
Thanks, Davey.
Yeah, I mean, I New York, is that Area 44? I mean, I know it's not being specific, about Los Angeles versus Area 44, but I actually... I know that my experience is a little bit different than other people's experiences, which I've heard in meetings, people who say, oh yeah, I moved to a new area and they were all doing it wrong. And they were just all doing it wrong. And it's so hard to be the new kid on the block, you know, after so and so many years of sobriety, and, you know, and then you're like, you come in and you're like, well, how we did it back home is this and this and this. And I will admit, I never thought my area did it right. And when I moved, and when I would go visit other areas, I'd be like, oh, why do you do what they do? And so what's cool is, you know, like, Davey's right. You know, Oregon Area 58, we don't have a literature committee. We never have. We got a lot of committees. We got a safety committee. Got a, you know, a lot of committees, but we don't have a literature committee. And I didn't even know there was such thing until I started experiencing other areas, and every other area has a literature committee. But it's like, wait a minute, you know? And then I did some work on this for this district right here on your literature committee a couple years ago or whatever. And I started thinking, why can't we, our district, have a literature committee? And now we have a literature committee, right? And now, because of our literature committee, there's four other districts in Oregon that have a literature committee, and they are using our literature committee guidelines. And so maybe one day Oregon Area, because it's an upside down triangle, right, will have a literature committee, because the districts come first and the districts tell the area what to do, not vice versa. And I was on my way to District 6 with Nick, to do their district inventory. And Nick and I don't know if we had a disagreement, but I could see where Nick was right and maybe I was wrong, because we were talking about different locations, right? And the pros and cons of having a local service sponsor, because I'm no longer service sponsoring people outside of Oregon Area. And he's like, well, I don't know. It's actually not a bad thing to have some outside experience coming in, right? And I'm like, well, technically, yeah, I guess so. And I start thinking about anything that I've learned from, because I've always had an out-of-the-area service sponsor. I've never had a service sponsor in my own local Oregon area. And I start thinking everything that I've learned is from outside. And so it is good for us to learn from each other and consider other areas and consider maybe what my area does and how it affects an area across. Because the fourth tradition, just like one a thing, something that your group can do can affect the next group across the street, areas can too. And so I got to look at that at the bigger picture. And I don't really have an opinion right now. I'm like half and half on whether it's good or bad to have a service sponsor in a different area or the same area. And you know, I'll let you know my results in 5-10 years from now, but yeah, some things to think about.
Okay, here's my answer. Ready? Get ready. Bottom of page 93. Until I became, about six lines up from the bottom, until I became another book convert and a marathon 12-stepper.
Marathon.
You about 10 lines down from the top. And then became a real sanitarium commuter on the back to the bottom of page 93 on the four square AA basis, top of 94. During this pandemic, this is online stuff that is going to answer your question. Hold with me. On the top of page 95, it was incredible. Here was evidence that AA could cross the seas and mountains pretty much on its own. In the future, no alcoholic messenger in the flesh might be needed at all. Well, I'm just saying, we've gone from extremes, like Carrie just explained here, with many a things. And so my recovery looks like that. No, I was caught up in myself to answer the question. It was all about me. And all about how to put down the drink in the beginning. And then when I got a little bigger and I got into some service stuff outside of that, then again, all I knew was Area 15. All I knew was District 6. And again, during the pandemic, my eyes have been opened up. And with my sponsor, with exactly that trial and error and try again method, just like with our traditions and how they formed, we begin to see what works and what doesn't. And what works for one might not work for another, right? And the reality is that we're open to change, right? Not good or bad, just different. So at least that's for me. Let me speak for me. So thank you. And thank you, Nick. And thank you, Davey. And thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, guys. So on the bottom of 95, I'm in my truck, so I'm all over, kind of squirmy here. You see the camera shaking around. At the bottom, I get written down, you know, growth is inevitable. And underneath that, page 308. So if everybody wants to go over there, it's actually a really good statement.
308.
Correct. 308. It says experience has shown that as soon as any community contains three or four active members, growth is inevitable. Active, right? for the good reason that each member feels he must work with other alcoholics or perhaps perish himself. So that's a good highlight. That's a good statement to meditate on. Even beginning committee meetings and whatnot. And it, you know, it's, I think it probably stemmed from, if you look earlier in that page, I spoke to an AA audience in the Shrine Auditorium where 7,000 members and their families were gathered by the Los Angeles County by then Los Angeles County represented most densely populated AA region in our whole fellowship. Today it harbors 14,000 members as they are solid as Gibraltar. And that was a huge deal then. Anyhow, so it keeps going on. I just didn't want to skip that because that's pretty important. So at the bottom of 96, before we get into the next page, our bodies are small working part of a bigger body. And it's kind of given the small breakdown of the traditions down at the bottom. And then kind of one of my favorite little, our traditions are a guide to better ways of working and living. And they are also an antidote for our various maladies. The 12 traditions are to group survival and harmony, what AA's 12 steps are to each member's sobriety and peace of mind. And the top of 97, it says it's no longer about me. And I think that's actually worth chatting about real quick. You know, what does that statement scream to you right now? You know, like, it's no longer about me, period, with an exclamation mark at the end of it. Kick it off, Davey.
I'm Davey. I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, I think that for me, what I realize is, and I'm really starting to realize this more and more, is like the transition from not only is like I have the responsibility now to understand these principles and make the sacrifices that AA is asking me, because it isn't about me. Like, I can't do it myself. It's not my job to do it myself. And, you know, if I'm being honest, like, before I went through the traditions, I was like, what do you mean it's not about me? Like, I've had a spiritual awakening. Like, I can function now, you know, and I had to realize, like, the only reason that I had that is because AA was here before I got here. And my responsibility to pay back what I've been given is to do everything I can to make sure that happens for the alcoholic that's not even born yet.
Awesome. Thank you.
So I really appreciate, Nick, that you took us to page 308, because there are a couple of questions on that page already that I have given consideration to that are in alignment with this. The question that we wrote on page 95. So on page 308, a couple of the questions is, will the movement spread? And that's in the last paragraph. It starts on the last paragraph. Will the movement spread? It's talking about AA movement. And the answer to that is in the previous paragraph that you read, and you emphasized, yes, wherever there's three or four active members. And I like how you emphasize the word active, because, well, members can be completely worthless, honestly. I mean, you can be a member. You're a member when you say you are. You know, are you an active member, right? And that's just like, so the next sentence here says, the next question says, will all of these recoveries be permanent? And I just, you know, that takes me back to the big book where, you know, nowhere in the big book does it talk about sobriety one day at a time. It talks about, and I'll quote, permanent recovery. I'll quote again, permanent sobriety. I'll quote again, for good and for all. Those are the terms that are used in the big book. And that's what this program promises, regardless of what I hear in meetings. And one of the things that I really appreciate about in the also in the big book is where it's taught, well, in how it works, right? Because I think that a lot of people are like, well, I don't know how it works, but it just does. Well, no, we have a chapter that explains precisely how it works. And the first part of that chapter says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, right? And so it's not just like an active, where two, three or four active members, our society will flourish. Members who thoroughly follow our path will have permanent sobriety. And I truly believe that. It's been my experience. And one of the things that I appreciate are the statistics on in the foreword to the second edition, where it says that they had alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, right? And those words are important. The active members, those who really tried. It's not just saying those who came, right? 50% got sober at once and remained that way. And then 25% sobered up after some relapses. And it goes on. But one of the things that I've been really focused on lately, and it's been in my meditation almost on a daily basis, is I've been hearing a lot of, you know, big book thumpers and stuff that want to pretend like, I don't know, nothing happened after the first 10 years. And they say, oh, if everybody had the program that the first 100 had, you know, and we got to do exactly what's in the book. And of course, our statistics are 2% now. And back then they were 50% instantly sobered up and never drank again. You know, I hate to say it, but I don't see 1%. I don't know. My home group, we stick to the literature. 50% of the people that come into my home group, sorry, but the statistics that I've taken in the past 18 months since I've been focused on this is 75% sober up immediately and they don't drink again. And so I don't know where the 1% is coming from. I don't know where the numbers dropping is coming from, but members who show up and really try, it's a lot higher than the numbers I hear being thrown around. So I really just appreciate those words being emphasized. Thanks.
Well, then I love the fact that she talked about permanent, and that's right where I was going to go. XIII in our book, if you have an abridged version from the workshop we just did prior to this one. But it does. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, check out that adjective, one alcoholic with another, not anything else, but one alcoholic with another was vital, another strong adjective, right, to permanent. And there's that word recovery. And that's the foreword to the second edition, as you already noted. But it's also that much more important that it says it again in the foreword to the second edition. It talks about, it's all over the place. It talks about in the foreword to the third, you know, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. We see it all over, you know, that part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. I know we're not in the big book, but it's about the big book because that's where our message is found, right? That's nestled in this 12-step fellowship. We have a 12-step program, and it's not an 11-step program. I'm often heard saying that. So the word, key word being action, I don't hang on to feet draggers. It's that simple. And I know that because my time, I don't want it to be a dead end. And I do want it, like Davy, to be here for generations to come. So I heard everybody that talked before I did tonight. And Nick, I heard you talk about some great stuff on the bottom of page 96. But I just want to read some of that real quick, because I hope this encourages some of you that maybe you've been waiting for Craig to read to you, or Nick or Davy or Carrie or I to read to you. And I encourage you to pick up this book with maybe your sponsees or maybe your sponsor, if you've not been through it with your sponsor. And this is how they like to do it. And that's why they're sharing what they do with their sponsees, right? We all do this with our sponsees. So it says in the second paragraph on page 96, this was the welter of excitement, of exciting and fearsome experience out of which AA's 12 traditions were drawn and first put to paper in 1946. Against this background, we shall now consider those 12 traditions, the vital, love that word, right. Bill, the vital principles upon which the survival, and another word for vital could be required, right? Requirement. Principles upon which the survival of Alcoholics Anonymous so heavily depends. And I have all this highlighted. Implicit throughout AA's traditions is the confession that our fellowship has its sins, right? We're not perfect. We confess that we have character defects as a society and that these defects threaten us continually. Our traditions are a guide to better ways of working and living, and they are also an antidote for our various maladies. How dare you take my inventory, but that might be true. The 12 traditions are to group survival and harmony what AA's 12 steps are to each member's sobriety and peace of mind. Here's the last part. 12 traditions also point straight at many of our individual defects. By implication, they ask each of us to lay aside pride and resentment. They ask for personal as well as group sacrifice. They ask us never, never to use the AA name in any quest for personal power or distinction or money. The traditions guarantee the equality of all members and the independence of all groups. They show how we may best relate ourselves to each other and to the world outside. They indicate how we can best function in harmony as a great whole. For the sake of the welfare of our entire society, the traditions ask that every individual in every group and every area in AA shall lay aside all desires, ambitions, and untoward actions that could bring serious division, speaking of divisiveness from last week, division among us or lose for us the confidence of the world at large. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous symbolize the sacrificial character of our life together, and they are the greatest force for unity that we know. Now I will be quiet, but I had all of that highlighted, and I think it's amazing. And thank you guys for being here tonight to like light the fire on this book. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you, Davey. Thank you, Carrie. I love that sentence. No longer about me, period. And it never was as soon as I got to AA. Like, that's the funny thing about all of it, right? Like, and Bill's got this real kind way of throwing it in there when you're reading the stuff. You know, you're getting in the four step and he gives like a gentle reminder. You're like, let's remember, like, this inventory is ours and not the other man's. And I don't know, these days I make sure that, even going through the steps, pointing out this stuff, like, it's not about us, you know, it's just about cleaning up our mess. Right. And I love like the end of page 86, or not the end, but the end of, when you're talking about your nightly review, and it says, but be careful not to get into worry and remorseful thinking. But why? Right. Why? It says, because it'll diminish our usefulness to others. So it's like at the end of all that, Bill's like, yo, it doesn't matter. Like, we're doing all this so we can be helpful. We can be useful to other people. So that carries on in the tradition. The traditions are like, you know, the steps to the group. So this is just asking each group to make sure that we are being helpful and useful to other groups, to other districts, to other people within the fellowship. Right. So I just think it's, and I'm just very lucky, right? I'm lucky. I have good sponsorship, and good mentors to keep me, you know, put me in my place, you know, and remind me, you know, about stuff. Cause I can easily, I'm still selfish. I'm still self-centered. I wake up and I'm ready to tear the world up unless I ask for that to be removed and ask for some guidance, you know, like that hasn't gone away yet. I'm still all about self. Like I need to live in these steps. Otherwise you guys are in trouble. Right. Cause I spend most of my time with you guys. So anyways, page 98. Oh, this is a great question. Just to see the reactions, right? Does sex divide me? You know, and it's talk about like the first two scares in Alcoholics Anonymous was booze and sex. And so does sex divide me, Davey? No laughing, Carrie.
I'm just going to say yes.
Awesome. Great response.
Poor Davey. Carrie, that's not nice.
I know. Well, Carrie.
I don't know. I was at the district meeting, you know, and one of the servants, one of the amazing trusted servants that we have in District 5, you know, was telling me she just left her home group. And I'm like, what? There's plenty of people that she's like, no, they're not interested in general service. I'm done. I, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I said, but what about your GSR, so-and-so? And I go, he was amazing. And she goes, yeah. And he has, you know, he got a girlfriend. And I said, oh. And I said, ooh, go tell Davey that story. Davey couldn't relate. That's all I'm going to say about that. But moving on. I can relate to that. I can totally relate to that. Because hold on a sec. Jer? Okay. He's not. So I can relate to that because, so I was the girl in the bars when I was drunk who, was kind of like when a guy would come over to buy me a drink or, you know, any of us a drink, really, I was the mother hen, you know, I'm like, excuse me, can you see that we're having ladies night? Bye-bye. You know, like I was not out to, I never even thought of cheating on my husband. I mean, if you guys saw him, you'd understand. He's pretty hot. But if I never even considered, like, it didn't go through across my mind. I don't have temptations. It's not like, you know, I mean, I found him when he was 15 and I introduced myself as his future wife and then made him marry me when he turned 18. And since then I haven't changed my mind, having said that, my first year of AA, my first year in AA, you take the drink away from an alcoholic and something needs to be filled. You know, attention seeking behavior, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever, anything, you know, food. And yeah, I never had any of those problems until you took away alcohol in AA. And, you know, nobody wanted to work the big book with me in my first year. And there was this guy, old timer, he had 3 months when I was new. And, you know, and I didn't even realize that we were dating until I realized. And and it was powerful. It was like as powerful as alcohol, right? And I created more wreckage in my first year sober than I did my last year drunk. So I get why this is a concern, right? I get it. Today as a recovered alcoholic, I don't even see what it makes me look like sometimes. I mean, it doesn't even cross my mind anymore because I'm well, you know, I've recovered. But early on, yeah, I can see where this would be an issue, where it was an issue.
Well, my answer is I am a widow and chosen to stay single since 2010. That does not mean I'm on the market, but I'm prepared to look at it from a different point of view. Therefore, I agree with Carrie. And I do know that as a newcomer, when I did come in, I thought God sent me this guy.
Yep. Me too. Yeah. There was a lot of them.
It didn't work. He had a woman in every port, that yacht captain, let me just tell you. But I do see the division between all, true story, but I do see the division because like Carrie said, I've seen people that just have to fill that hole. And so therefore, that's why I think it's important to get you through them steps right away. Implement it now. We'll perfect it later because there ain't no thing is too soon, too new, too much, whatever. Get in there and get it. Otherwise, you'll be hanging around looking for something else to fill it with. At least that's been my experience. I mean, I cannot take away the alcohol and then not give you a solution to put in its place. So yeah, sex can be, but I also don't care for like the opposite sex, like, you know, not learning to deal with the community either, like all women's groups or all men's groups. Sorry, people, if you are a women's group or a men's group, but not that sorry. I mean, I'll visit, but, you know, I prefer a co-ed group. I've got to learn to live with the world, you know? So anyway, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, you never know which direction is going to go with that question. And that last little bit kind of rings true in my head, you know, like the men's meetings and the women's meetings. Like I attended a bunch of men's meetings and I don't know. I have had good experience. Don't get me wrong. Like I do know of a men's group that I like to attend. But most of the men's groups I've been to, I feel like it was like things discussed that really have no they don't belong in AA. And so that kind of turned me off from the men's groups, but that's been my experience with the men's groups. I got lucky. I met my wife pretty early on in recovery, and she's a good egg. So I don't know. I didn't have too many. I had a ton of experience before, but that didn't really count because I was drunk. Let's see. Another. So does my self-seeking harm my group or AA as a whole?
What page?
Same page, 98. Does my self-seeking harm my group or AA as a whole? And I'm sure it's referring, if you go down a little bit further, pride, fear, and anger. Pride and fear and anger. These are the prime enemies, of our common welfare. True brotherhood, harmony, and love, fortified by clear insights and right practices, are the only answers. And the purpose of AA's traditional principles is to bring these forces to the top and keep them there. Only then can our common welfare be served. Only then can AA's unity become permanent. I see a lot of love there.
There's a lot of permanent going on tonight. Just
Davey, does your self-seeking harm your group or AA as a whole?
I'm Davey. I'm an alcoholic. And yeah, I was, you know, that highlight is kind of in between the last two paragraphs on my page. And to the right of that, it says they were all more dangerous because they were invariably powered by self-righteousness, self-justification, and the destructive power of anger, usually masquerading as righteous indignation. And it seems for me personally that those are my self-seeking character defects. And when I'm self-seeking like that, like, I can't be in unselfish constructive action, which is the only way I'm useful to any sponsees of mine or my group. And, you know, the self-seeking, like, it just, I would be better served to just not show up at my home group if I'm just feeling like I want attention, because it's not why I'm there. It's to be helpful and useful to other people. That's all I got.
I love that. Whenever I hear I need a meeting, I always like want to hand them a big book. Oh, we're hitting that mark. Bob's on us. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
All audio and video files on the District 6 AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.